All right, good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome into the program. Bill Ryder with you. Buckle up, strap in. 2 hours of sports talk radio greatness coming at you right now. Starting right now. Phone number 888-710-4ISN. Social media, Ryan_Hickey, the number 3 for the executive producer, sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. For me, Jerry Hairston Jr., longtime big leaguer, friend of the show, will be on the program in an hour. He's a Dodgers analyst. We'll talk some Dodgers. We'll talk a bunch of baseball with Jay here. Love that dude. Buy or sell at the end of the program, toward the end of the program. Bum of the week. A lot of nominees, not just people who went to a Coldplay concert. A lot of nominees out there. Before that, this hour, later this hour, we will get into the SEC versus the Big Ten and why you're basically rooting for, if you're rooting for anybody, it's two bad guys against each other. It's the Sopranos. The great takeaway from the Sopranos was that you were actually just watching bad guys. There were no good guys. There were no heroes. SEC versus the Big Ten and how college football will be decided is important. It is significant. There are no heroes in that story. We'll talk about that probably 40 minutes from now. Yesterday was a nice guy Thursday. And that was tested by the executive producer, but we did it. Today might be a little bit edgier guy Friday, but that's going to be hard to do in about 20 minutes because a feel-good story. Damian Lillard. Actually, we can go after John Horst. So we can go after the GM in Milwaukee a little bit. Lillard's gone back to Portland. That's really cool. But let's start with the big news of the day. TJ Watt and the Pittsburgh Steelers have come to an agreement. A 3-year, $123 million, $108 million guaranteed contract extension for the second time in his very impressive career. TJ Watt is the highest paid non-quarterback in football history. Good job. Way to go. Here's the thing, and we've seen some examples of this the last few days. This is classic bad relationship warning signs. This is a public version of the Coldplay embrace between the CEO and the head of HR that has made so many rounds. This is two people, TJ Watt, and then the Steelers as an organization, doubling down on a toxic togetherness that is not going to work. This is a mistake for everybody involved. This is codependency that is expensive and will shatter dreams and will not work. I understand it. I understand the temptation from both sides. Look, TJ Watt is a stud. Guy's a stud. He has the most sacks in the National Football League over the past five seasons at 73.5. He was the 2021 Defensive Player of the Year, and he has played it. It's not a one-off. He's played at that level year after year after year after year. He's led the league in sacks in three of the last eight seasons. He led the NFL in forced fumbles last year. He kind of tailed off a little bit at the end of the year. But look, the dude is a menace on defense. He's a machine. He's great. And on the face of it, you would understand why the Steelers would invest in him, why they would pay him, why they would want him to be under contract and happy entering the final year of his contract just a few days before training camp begins early part of next week. I get all of it. $41 million per year is a good reason for him. Here's the thing, and here's the problem. And this is there are a few things that can reinforce and pull people into bad relationships. Desperation is one of them. You've seen this with your friends, right? And if some of you are looking in the mirror, and I'm not saying Ryan Hickey. I'm just saying if you're looking in the desk, no, he's got a great gal. He's engaged. Desperation is not a good building block for a decision on a long-term commitment. Delusion is not a good building block, is not a good recipe for success. And the allure of money is not a good idea. It's not a good pull. And those are the things that have bound the Steelers and TJ Watt to each other. Delusion, desperation, and cash money. And from the Steelers' perspective, because we'll get to TJ Watt in a second, at least he's going to get rich, right? And when I was young, when I was naive, when I was going to a Catholic school in Dubuque, Iowa, wearing my fancy little outfit that, you know, wasn't very fancy, I remember I believed in true love. True love. I mean, you, when you're young, you believe in lust, too. But you're like, oh, true. And the reality in life is, it's complicated. And people marry for all kinds of different reasons. And people come together for all kinds of different reasons. And I have known plenty of people, long before I understood Lion Eyes, the song by the Eagles, and what it meant, I knew plenty of people who got married and got in relationships for money. And you know what it doesn't end up doing? It doesn't end up making you particularly happy. It will make you rich, as I understand it. I don't really know. I love my wife. She got no money. Maybe a little money would be great, but you know, she got no money. It's fine. I got no money either. But for the Steelers, what this is desperation. Look, they're all in. They're all in. DK Metcalf this year, check. I mean, let me start with the big. Aaron Rodgers is a big part of the reason this isn't going to work, check. DK Metcalf brought in, check. Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, check. A big chunk of their draft picks, most of them, defensive players. Most expensive defense in the National Football League. Here's the thing, and you know this. I know this. TJ Watt knows this. The Steelers certainly know it. That's why they just threw $123 million at this dude. And he's great. This is a Steelers team that has not won a playoff game in memory. It's been almost two decades since they won a playoff game. And what they're doing is they are going all in. They have a premier wide receiver. They have one of the best defensive players in football. They just paid him a bunch of money, even though last year, end of the year, trailed off a little bit, getting up there in years for what he does. They brought in a bunch of guys, and they've doubled down on this philosophy of defense, 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 defense. Hasn't worked. And the person they turn to, the person that justifies the cash, the person that they think is going to be the catalyst to make all this investment, this $108 million guaranteed extension, $41 million a year to TJ Watt worthwhile, is Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. They are delusional if they think Aaron Rodgers is going to take them to the promised land. They are desperate in bringing in Rodgers. And having done that, they are throwing money and opportunity around. I know rebuild next year doesn't work out. Aaron Rodgers, we'll get a different quarterback. No, man. The entire plan is about now. And the money they're spending is about now. This isn't a sustainable model. This is we have got to win in 2025. And here's the thing. If they were in the NFC, which they're not, and if I were willing to be delusional in this job, which I'm not, and I were willing to drink when the show got started at 7 in the morning on the West Coast, which I'm not, put it all together, maybe I could talk you and me into the idea that the Steelers could make a surprise run. They're not in the NFC. I am, in fact, sober, and I don't want to lie to you. They got no chance in the AFC. They have no chance. Which brings us to TJ Watt. He got the money. It's not the same thing as love. And this is a guy, and I'm not going to play it, but he's talked about. He wants to win, he says. He wants to be a success in terms of playoff football, he says. He wants to be in an organization where he can lift that storied trophy, where he can feel greatness course through his career forever by being a Super Bowl champion. This dude is 0-5 in his career in the playoffs. He's not winning the Super Bowl. They've got the 16th best odds in the National Football League to be Super Bowl champions. 16th! They're not winning the Super Bowl this year. I'm not sure, and maybe they will, I'm not sure they're going to win a playoff game this season. I'm not sure they're going to win a playoff game in the next few seasons. What is their solution to quarterback when Aaron Rodgers doesn't work out? And here's the other thing. Here's the other mistake this guy made. And it's the double whammy. You fall for false charm, and you convince yourself it's not about the money when it's the money. You know what that leads to? A miserable marriage. The false charm of Aaron Rodgers has deluded everybody with the Steelers, including apparently T.J. Watt, into thinking they can win. They can't. They won't. And he fell for the cash. And I'm not mad at him. I get it. And look, when we're talking about money, what I make, what Ryan makes, what you make, where you're listening, I understand that it's a different universe. It's almost a different language than the language of the contracts these athletes that we root for sign. I cannot comprehend $1 million, let alone a $123 million extension. It's on top of this four-year deal that he's in right now that has him highly compensated and $108 million guaranteed. It's so much money. And so it's easy for me to say, don't take the money. Or for me to tell you that in my career, in order to be happy at various stages, I have taken less money to do the thing that I love. But I have. I have. So I'm not entirely speaking from a self-righteous, sitting in my studio, radio studio here in Los Angeles, easy for me to say. I don't have generational wealth. I don't have any wealth. I mean, I have some money, but I don't have wealth. And I know, and I've learned the hard way, bad bosses, bad cultures, good bosses, good cultures, bad producers, good producers, great producers like Ryan Hickey, that these things, man, nice Friday, most nice Thursday, carried over, that these things matter. And so I can tell you that T.J. Watt has deluded himself. That he's taken the money and talked himself into something he probably doesn't believe in. That the Steelers can get it done. He has a history they can't get it done. That Aaron Rodgers can be a success. I'm going to give T.J. Watt credit that he knows enough about football and winning and excellence to know that that's not going to happen. Aaron Rodgers in his late 30s wasn't good enough in Green Bay to bring his team to a Super Bowl. I know you know this, but the guy's made a single Super Bowl in his career, and that was a long time ago. About the same time that the Steelers were winning playoff games. This Steelers team is basically the Cowboys of the AFC, only they present better in the regular season. What's the difference? Big brand, highly celebrated, tons of attention, more competent, sure. The Cowboys have had a higher ceiling over the last decade than the Steelers. And the Steelers have been the thing about the tortoise and the hare, that parable, that story, is it's dumb. The turtle's not going to win. Give me a break. I got it. My kids shouldn't be lazy. I should be lazy. How about you just wake up and just go half speed? The turtle never wins. Not really. And that's what the Steelers are. They're the turtle. Are they steady? Yes. Are they reliable? Yes. Are they not flashy? Correct. Are they slow as hell? Yes, they are. Are they in a race against a competitor that goes to sleep? No, they're not. They're in the National Football League. It doesn't work. It's a tortoise against a bunch of hares and some other animals that don't go to bed. The Steelers aren't winners. They're not good. They're not successful. And this desperate move of Metcalf and Rodgers and Ramsey and Smith and let's defense, which fine. Look, if it was the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's 3 years from now, and Mahomes hasn't made it back to a Super Bowl, and Kansas City figures, you know what, Mahomes is great, but this isn't working, we're going to have the most expensive defense in the country, I might sit here and go, all right, what a change, maybe this will work. The Steelers, this is year four in a row of spending all of their money on defense. It doesn't work. The Steelers should have just dared T.J. Watt to not show up for work. Made sure he played at a really high level this year. Give themselves the financial flexibility to do something else, to build a different way. They don't have a quarterback. And T.J. Watt should have looked around and said, you know what? If I really want to win, maybe, just maybe, the place that I should be, that I should not commit my long-term future to, is it not a place that has literally never won a playoff game in my career? This guy's been the best player defensively in the National Football League many of his seasons in football. He is probably the best defensive player in football, I mean, maybe in the last decade. And the guy has never won a single playoff game. Tim Tebow, I don't even know where Tim Tebow is right now. I don't know what he does for a living. Has more playoff wins in his career than T.J. Watt does. No, you know what T.J. Watt took? He took the money, he took the lie, he took the comfort, he took the ease. kept woman, kept man, whatever. Congratulations. Those lion eyes, he knows. This ain't going to work. Congratulations, TJ Watt, you're rich. But he was already rich. Easy for me to say, I got it. I'm not trying to take money out of his pocket. But don't sit there and tell me how much you want the Lombardi Trophy and how important it is, how winning's everything. You are with an organization that doesn't win, that brought in a quarterback that doesn't win. Now with a contract, because of the way the NFL works, that makes it hard to win. It's not like TJ Watt's going to get twice as good. It's not like he's in his prime. He's really, really good. He's amazing. He's not new to the Steelers. He's been there. It hasn't worked. The Steelers and TJ Watt are in a bad relationship. You know how bad relationships end? Heartache, sadness, depression, regret. That's where we're going. What a positive start to the show. I didn't sign the contract. Don't be mad at me. 888-710-4ISN. Told you, it's a mean guy Friday. We're gonna be honest. 888-710-4ISN if you want to defend the honor of the Steelers or TJ Watt or all the money that he made. I'm not mad about the money. Make the money. Don't pretend like you care about winning, because you don't. Damian Lillard doesn't care about winning. Cares about going home. I love this story. And I owe an apology to somebody. I owe an apology to somebody in the Damian Lillard saga. So I'm going to apologize, and we're going to celebrate a guy that knows what loyalty is next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
You know what? We're going to lean into the we're nice here part of that today. Let's just lean into being nice. A kindness-infused Writer Than You coming at you for the next 2 hours. That is a challenge I'm not sure I can meet. I'm looking at my executive producer, Ryan Hickey, and accepting it's going to be a big challenge I may not be able to meet.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. Look, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't listen to the music because we can't play it on the podcast. Except one guy used to fill in here and we put it on there when he wasn't supposed to, and then all of you would be like, this is great. It's not supposed to happen. This guy's the best. We're listening to, what is the name of this song? I don't want to sing it to you. I'm going to have Ryan tell you. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Bill. I think it's that. I'm going to be. That's what it is.
I'm going to be. That's it. That is the 90s, I think. You weren't even born yet.
Was made before. Interesting. It's a good song. And I feel like I can go back. While I'm not cultured movie-wise, I feel like I am cultured musically.
I would 100% agree. Your musical excellence is real.
Let's go. Only thing I could do right here.
You did great. I like nice stories. I like stories that remind you that sometimes in sports, unlike TJ Watt and the Steelers and their bad relationship. Man, a couple of relationship analogy opens this week. I love it. Maybe I can do a proposal one next week if we can just find, I'm not sure what that would. That's why this team got down on their knee and said to this person, I love you, and I want to spend the next 7 years with you. Damian Lillard was a Portland Trailblazer for a long time, and he stayed for too long. Portland's a great city, too. Have you been to Portland? Oregon's a great state. Portland's amazing.
Never have yet.
Oh, dude.
Yet.
Beautiful. I would live in Oregon tomorrow. Love it. And I've always had an affinity for that place, and maybe that's part of the reason, but I respected the hell out of Damian Lillard staying, and if you remember, made a conference finals, if I remember right, always lost to the Warriors. LaMarcus Aldridge left. He stuck around. They weren't able to build the way that he wanted. He stuck around, and finally he decided to leave. And Joe Cronin, the new GM in Portland, I owe that guy an apology. I thought he was an idiot. I'm an idiot. Cronin did a great job. Cronin refused to send Lillard to the place that he wanted, so he sent him to Milwaukee, got a great return, traded Drew Holiday as part of that, but then turned around and immediately shipped Drew Holiday to Boston. And all these years later, the Lillard-Milwaukee situation having not worked, the Achilles injury for Lillard, taking him out for the year. He's going to finish his rehab in Portland. He signed a 3-year, $42 million to return after getting bought out by the Bucks. There's a no-trade clause. He has a player option in 27-28. And the cool thing about this is he goes home. And what's amazing about this from a basketball – look, I love this just from a human being perspective. Damian Lillard's family is there. He has talked about how difficult it was being in Milwaukee away from his family. If I remember correctly, Ryan, I don't like to bring up people's personal lives too much, but I think this is germane. He got divorced around that time, so he wasn't able to bring his family with him. This is a chance to go back and be around his children, be around the people that he loves. He has a really close, apparently, support system, people that he cares about, care about him in that town. And he loves Portland. By the way, Joe Cronin, where I owe the apology, I thought that trade was terrible. I was wrong. You were right. Great job. Drew Holiday, remember, when the trade happened, Drew Holiday went, this is 3 years ago, went to Portland and then immediately went to Boston. Cronin got all of the things that he got from Milwaukee. He got all the things he got from Boston. And he now also has Damian Lillard and Drew Holiday. It's unbelievable. And they're a pretty interesting team, by the way. They played really well last year for a team that we thought was going to be one of the top contenders to be the first pick in the draft. I don't know that Portland can make that kind of push in the West. The West is really deep. The West is basically the AFC of the NBA. There's just so many good teams. But we saw the Houston Rockets 2 years ago finish kind of like Portland just did, just outside of the play-in, and then catapult last year to the two seed. Do I think the Portland Trailblazers are going to be the two seed? I don't. But if you tell me they sneak in to 5 or 6, they play out of their mind, and Lillard's not going to be a part of this. He'll be rehabbing. And then a year from now, this young team has Lillard come back as a veteran who has a presence and has maybe a little bit of scoring. Yeah, I love it. It's a great story. And it's a great story at a time where guys and teams don't tend to stay unified, where people don't stay placed for their whole careers in the NBA. I love it. And unlike the T.J. Watt deal, this isn't about delusion. Lillard's not pretending he's going there to win an NBA championship. I mean, think about this. Damian Lillard left Portland because he couldn't win. And by the way, he's still not. They're not going to win an NBA championship in the next 8 years. Sorry, Oregon. They're not. They're not. The Spurs maybe do. The Celtics maybe figured out again. I mean, just sort of go through the teams that we know are really good. And Oklahoma City Thunder are going to win a lot. The Rockets have a window now with Kevin Durant. Nikola Jokic is still a member in Denver. The Lakers are more likely to build a winner around Luka Doncic in L.A. and then a 5, 6, 7, 8-year timeline than Portland is. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some long shot change. Maybe they draft some guy in, you know, 2028. But he's not going there because he thinks you can win a title. You go to the Lakers, you go to the Rockets, you go to the Thunder, you go to the Knicks, you go a lot of places. You can kind of, all right, close your eyes, convince yourself, pretend, pinch yourself, maybe we can win. He's not doing it for that reason. He's not lying to himself or us like T.J. Watt. He's not. He's saying, you know what? It's a well-run basketball organization. They're young, they're good. We'll play competitive basketball, but I get to go home. I get to go to a place that I love. I respect it. I think it's really, really cool. Damian Lillard's always been one of my favorite players in the game. It was really hard. I'm just being honest, Milwaukee. You can be mad. Really hard. Sorry, Bart Winkler. Really hard to root for him when he was in Milwaukee because I don't like Doc Rivers. I didn't want to see that organization be successful. And beyond that, it just was never going to work. It was a bad, bad fit. Are you a Damian Lillard guy, Ryan?
You like Lillard? I love Lillard.
He can rap. He's kind. He's a great basketball player.
He would do well on a Kindness Thursday here on the show.
He would do well. Dude, he could do well on an Edgy Friday, too. He's got that. He can flip that switch a little bit.
That's true. When he plays some of those California teams, that plays that chip on that shoulder.
Yeah. He's from the Bay. Was always put out that the Warriors didn't draft him. Was unheralded, what, Murray, no, Weber, Weber? Can't even pronounce the name of the school.
Weber.
It's Weber. It's not Weber. My bad. It's Weber. I only know that Weber is Weber because of Damian Lillard. Went to Weber State? Yeah. Is he a Hall of Famer? He is, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, I think we do a little too much Hall of Fame. Yeah, we get too much Hall of Fame. But he's pretty great.
Basketball standards are also a little different. Because they're so much lower than other sports. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, look, I understand why Carmelo Anthony's a Hall of Famer. I never thought he was a slam dunk Hall of Famer. That's how particular I would be.
I'd rather have it more difficult than easier. I think it should be less than more. to really kind of, you know, make it worth, you know, the accomplishment. But I think basketball compared to the other sports, it's
different. And the NFL's hard just because of the politics of how that works.
Yes. And baseball, you could argue as well, in terms of politics, depending on the player.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And the steroids era has certainly created some barriers to guys that on paper would be able, should get.
Right, which is their own fault.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
It's their deal. Is Doc Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Wow.
You know he's getting in.
Yes.
He's not a good coach.
I agree. I everything you say about him, I am in lockstep with.
Yeah. I've had some opinions that have been bad opinions, okay? I don't like peanut butter and jelly. I know people piss people off. Yeah,
wait,
I don't like peanut butter and jelly. I don't like it.
That's
gross.
You would hate to hear what I have every day for lunch. That's
peanut
insane.
Butter and sugary concoction of gel. Here's what I'll rock, though. Peanut butter and bananas. Peanut butter, bananas, and honey. How about just, you ever just take your toast and toast it so it's warm and the peanut butter on that? It's a melted.
Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
But not with the jelly.
Jelly makes it. No, it's a great combo. The
peanut butter,
the best
banana
combo
sandwich
in life.
It's peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly. No doubt.
I don't like it. It's an unpopular opinion. But I've been on this Doc Rivers isn't very good for years, and it's one of those interesting perspectives where I used to be made fun of for it, and now people are like, oh, yeah, I see it now. Got it.
Some people are just late to the train.
Yeah, Damian Lillard probably
left
was
the station.
But now he knows. Lillard knows.
Does Giannis know, you think?
It's a good question. Doc is very good, as I understand it, at managing the one or two stars that matter. Right? That's part of his skill, right? You ever had a boss? Well, you haven't, because you've worked here your whole career, so you don't. But have you heard of people who have bosses who are awful to people and awful at their jobs, but just kiss their boss's ass really effectively in front of everybody, and it's so phony, but no one's going to raise their hand and be like, he's not like this when you're not around, sir. That's Doc Rivers, as I understand it, with his star player.
He manages up, I guess you can say.
Right? Really well. Yeah. No shame.
I don't want to say smart in a way, but smart in the sense of he knows the power dynamic. He knows what will keep him around.
It's made him really rich.
It has, very.
Let's not forget he was hired to advise a head coach he had a relationship with, and then his advice was fire him and give me a lot of money. Can someone advise me on, I don't know, hire me to be, I'll advise on all the shows on the network. What do you think of Rich Eisen? I think he's great. However, you could pay me more. Pay him to go away. Everybody wins except for you, the person I'm advising. What are we doing?
It is amazing that he can
Rich
pull
Eisen
it off
great, by the way.
As smoothly as he has.
It is amazing. I'm really happy for Damian Lillard. I do think it's likely that his years as an effective basketball player, even remotely approaching the levels that he used to be at, are over, by the way. I think when he and that's probably part of this, too, is he's going to be a mentor. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be a winner. He may be in very limited minutes an impact player. I don't think he'll ever be a top 15, 20 player in the NBA ever again. Not at his age, not the injuries coming off of, not some of the ways in which I thought at times in Milwaukee, even pre-injury, he was good, but he wasn't. He looked a little bit old. He looked like he was a step slower than he used to be.
Can I ask you this question?
Yeah.
Because for like right before he left Portland, it was like 2 or 3 years, we're talking about Damian Lillard and almost kind of looking at him like a puppy dog in a shelter. Like, oh, he deserves to be free. Get him on a winner. He deserves better than a team that can't win. And now that he goes back to where he came from, after almost him and a lot of the media and fans kind of saying he deserves better.
Right.
I don't even know how to phrase it, to be honest with you. But like looking back, does that, I don't say you're upset, but like, does that almost like cheapen? Like, it feels like almost like,
well,
I was almost
yeah,
led
no,
astray
a good point.
in a little bit, looking back now 2 or 3 years ago.
Can I double down on the bad relationship mistake analogy that I did with T.J. Watt and the Steelers at the start of the show? To make
Please.
And can I go with a really deep cut old movie that no one's watched?
Oh, even make better.
Here we go. Damian Lillard was in a relationship with a steady, solid, fine place that he loved. But he wanted something sexy. He wanted something flashy. He wanted more. I'm young. I'm exciting. I'm a superstar. And he left that solid relationship for the bright lights of what he thought was Miami, but he ended up in Milwaukee, and it didn't work out. And he came kind of crawling back, a lot like the wife in Bridget Jones's Diary. I don't know why that's what occurred to me, but it did. I'm not mad at him for realizing that what he always wanted, this is like, isn't this the premise of every other rom-com, was the thing that he just left. Take me back, baby. Kind of, I'm okay with it. I get it. He wanted to see what's out there. He wanted to try to win. And he found out the hard way, personally and professionally, that life isn't always greener on the other side of that valley.
I was searching for happiness my whole life. And what do you know, it's right there in front of me.
It was here all along. Meg Ryan. Or I don't know. I'm trying to come with a rom-com analogy. That's, I can't think of one. They broke up. You know what? Ross from Friends. Ross and Jennifer Aniston. I don't remember. Rachel.
Or if there's a breakup, too, with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, maybe that leads to them getting back together. Is it the movie ends with them being at least cordial and friendly?
But they broke up in that movie.
Right. But I'm saying at the end of the movie, right, they come together, they say, oh, we should catch up or whatever. Like, it's, they made it seem like maybe there's a chance.
No, they didn't. No,
you don't
it's
think
over.
So?
No.
You think they're just being friendly?
What a terrible mistake by Vince Vaughn's character, by the way.
Agreed.
Put the video game down and go do the dishes, bro. There are bigger rewards in life than winning Grand Theft Auto, I promise.
Have dinner with the in-laws once in a while. It's not going to kill you, all right?
You're on the brink of a lifetime of magic. Just, what are you doing?
Big swing and a miss.
I'm glad Damian Lillard's home. He's 35, by the way. Also, happy birthday to my daughter, Madeline. I love you, kiddo. 16 today. Who am I kidding, though? I'm sure she's asleep. She sleeps till noon. What time do you sleep to on Saturday? Last topic before we get out of here.
No alarm at this point. Probably yeah. 9 or 9:30.
Oh, okay. Me too. That's not very late. I used to sleep till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I love sleep.
When you have early mornings, I feel like then even like when you can quote unquote sleep in, your body's
can't
still like right.
Yeah.
You can sleep in like later than your alarm clock would usually allow for, but even like 2 or 3, like 9 o'clock is still like 3 hours past when I normally wake up. I feel like that's pretty long.
If I didn't wake my wife up, she would just sleep for 6 days in a row.
Wow. She's a sleeper,
sleeping
huh?
Beauty. Yeah. Yeah. She likes to sleep. I like to wake her up, though, just because I find it funny. Great. Great guy here. Great guy alert. The SEC and the Big Ten are the powers in college football. They're at a disagreement about what should happen going forward in the structure of the college football playoff. Why there are no good guys here after a sports flash from Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Let's start with round two of the Open Championship. Brian Harman is in the clubhouse at 8 under. Hao Tong Li is 7 under through 9. Matt Fitzpatrick 6 under through 4. Matthew Jordan's 5 under through 6 holes. And Robert McIntyre in the clubhouse at 5 under par. Now to baseball, and among the matchups today in the major leagues, you have the Yankees opening up a series with the Braves in Atlanta. Max Fried against Spencer Strider. First pitch for that game tonight is at 7:15 Eastern time. There is an afternoon game as baseball returns from the All-Star break as the Cubs host the Red Sox at Wrigley at 2:30 Eastern time. WNBA All-Star Weekend begins tonight in Indiana with the three-point contest and the Skills Challenge at 8 Eastern. And tomorrow, the All-Star game is at 8:30 Eastern time. Team Clark, Team Collier. Caitlin Clark is not playing due to injury. I'm Peter Schwartz.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
My wife, what is her take on chores? How would I describe this? I would describe it as no. It's more about, what are you talking about? She has chores amnesia. How do you think the towels get done? I don't know, the towel fairy? No, man, it's me, your husband, who does a sports talk radio show. All right, I bet Joe Theismann doesn't do the laundry. Either way, we're going to have him watch some sports takes for us next year. I'm Writer Than You.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
What? So that's what I find really fun about having a producer and a new one is that you guys have different things that just amuse you. Tom, your predecessor, for the first, I don't know, like for the first stretch where he felt like he wasn't properly heralded for his greatness would just have all rejoins of him feeling sorry for, like, me being mean to him or feeling. And it was, I don't know, it was only the first, you know, 3 years of our 4 year relationship that that lasted. You have a different vibe. By the way, great song again. Again, on the podcast, you can't hear it. It was a little yacht rocky. A little yacht rocky magic.
Bill Withers, Lovely Day, because it's a Friday.
Bill Withers, I didn't even know who sang it.
Oh, look at that.
So you're blowing my mind. You are so bad at pop culture movie stuff that I thought that maybe you like lived in a cave sometimes when you weren't at work. But you are a music genius. Maybe.
Maybe. Genius seems way too far, but...
You're, what are you, 31-year-old?
31.
Rocking the yacht rock?
Not bad.
I mean, everything you've done other than Jimmy Eat World this week has been phenomenal. That was on purpose to piss me off, so that probably is pretty good, too.
It was on purpose. I did not realize that you hated him, so it was a little bit of an accident, which is funny.
There's very little music that I hate. There's things that aren't my jam, but that I hate. There's very little food that I hate. Jimmy Eat World is the salmon of the music world. I will eat anything. I love fish. I like sushi, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I hate salmon. Loathe it. Terrible.
Noted.
There is, let me ask you a question. I want to make a point about sports, but I want to use the Sopranos to do it. We're way past the spoilers thing, right? If you haven't watched Sopranos, it's on you, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. That show's amazing. I think it's The Wire, but it might be the best show of all time. It's in the conversation. It changed TV. And there was late in that show's run, I think it's final season, there's a single scene where I realize there's no good guys. Where I realize the brilliance of, what's his name, David Chase, the creator, is not just the show, but he tricked all of us to root for Tony. And he's a sociopath. He's a bad guy. And that moment, Ryan, if you remember this, is when Tony Soprano and his nephew get in a car accident. And Tony Soprano, his nephew was like injured, and Tony Soprano realized he has this opportunity to get rid of his nephew and kills him. Suffocates him. And it's one of these crazy, like, oh my God, he's a sociopath. I should have known he's a sociopath. He's a mob boss who murders people. But there's no good guys. And it made me reframe the entire way that I watched it as I rewatched it. That's how I feel about the SEC and the Big Ten. There are no good guys here. There are powerful people. There are impressive people. There are people that you should not trifle with. But they're not the good guys in the landscape of college sports. And I think that is the important framing for this disagreement between the two conferences as they, excluding the ACC, excluding the Big 12, excluding Notre Dame, excluding whatever schools from non-power four conferences might every now and then have a chance at a little bit of relevance in the college football playoff, as they, by themselves, try to figure out and wrestle amongst themselves how we're going to do the college football playoff beyond this year. Right now it's a 12-team playoff. You know how it works. They want different models. The SEC, who are committed to 9 SEC conference games, that's what they want to do, are a 5+11 model. So basically, it's 5 automatic qualifiers, like we have now, and then 11 at-large bids. And the reason they're pushing 11 at-large bids is not because they think that I don't know, you know, Boise, Iowa, Dubuque Community College can every now and then sneak in. It's because they think that they can eventually get to where 6, 7, 8, 9 of those are the SEC. And don't forget, once you lock this in, you can also just keep expanding and adding more powerful schools as you gobble up other conferences. And those can also, part of what you sort of offer is, we've got 11 at-large bids and they'll be ours. That's about the SEC doing what's in the SEC's best interest. The Big Ten doesn't want that unless the SEC agrees to add another conference game so they can beat the hell out of each other a little bit like the Big Ten does. In lieu of that, the Big Ten wants basically a 4+4+2+2+1+3, which is to say 4 automatic qualifiers for their conference, the Big Ten, 4 automatic qualifiers for the SEC, 2 for the smaller conferences, and then you sort of dole them out down the road in different ways. It depends on what happens with Notre Dame. They're not doing that because they think that's in the best interest of college football either. That's because they think it's in the best interest of the Big Ten. But the real takeaway here in the Tony Soprano reality is both of these schools don't care, these conferences, excuse me, don't care about the sport. They don't care about the ACC or the Big 12. They see them as prey at best to be gobbled up if and when they want them. It's about selfishness. And I thought it was interesting, Eli Drinkwitz, who's Does he have the best name in college football? He is the head coach of the University of Missouri. Had an interesting perspective, because remember, he's an SEC guy. Had an interesting perspective on this showdown.
In the NFL, you got to figure out a way to be one of the best four teams in your division to make the playoffs. 44% of the teams in the NFL make the playoffs. We're talking about 10% of college football teams going to make the playoffs, and we think that's going to keep fan bases encouraged. We think that's going to continue to create multi-billion-dollar industry. College football is still reliant on financial assistance from fans. We can talk about ESPN dollars and all we want, but they still need fans to come to the games and sell tickets. And if at the end of the day, in the next 5 or 10 years, it's still the same 15 teams making it, what are you going to do the rest of these fan bases? They're going to quit showing up.
I love it, dude. He's right. This is forward thinking. One of the mistakes that businesses make is the greed of the moment at the expense of long-term sustainability. That is a reality. He's right. So I don't care who wins this battle. I don't. I'm not rooting for either side. They're both so self-interested. I will say this, Ryan, and I know you're very, very passionate about this, and I love that. I do think this won't happen, but the idiots in Indianapolis should be in charge of this. The NCAA should be in charge of this. The fact that it's conferences just shows that they are the power. They're the warlords now, right? There is no national government in this world. There's these two conferences. If you just made it even, if you made it a 3-3-3-3 and then whatever, who cares after that? Eventually, the money and the opportunity, the equal opportunity access to the college football playoff would eventually, and I'm talking 5-year timeline, maybe more, I think would make the ACC and the Big 12 much more competitive. And so this system locks in the monopoly the SEC and the Big 10 have now. This is about the opposite of what Drinkwitz is talking about. They don't want multiple schools to succeed. They don't want parity across the sport. They don't want a model that's good for fans because it's good for the sport. They want what's good for them. And what's good for them is the opposite of what's good for the sport. Look, if you let the Yankees be in charge of how baseball should work, they're going to create a system that's good for the Yankees. I'm not mad at the Yankees. Guess who shouldn't decide how money gets distributed and how you build baseball teams? Brian Cashman or Andrew Friedman or the Dodgers. That's the problem here. There should be an independent organization, it's called the NCAA, that does this, but they've lost all their power and they've lost their moral credibility to their own incompetence and idiocy and greed. So I don't know. I know we are out of time. And we'll circle back to this Monday. I don't know what the solution is. I don't even know who to root for.
No one. Because you're right. Whoever wins, they're going to make it the best for themselves and everyone else, whether it's the SEC wins and the Big Ten. Everyone else is a loser. And that sucks.
In the Sopranos analogy, they already killed one of the good guys. The Pac-12, they're dead.
Boom. Exactly.
They're gone. There are no good guys. Pac-12 had a little bit of a car accident, and they Christophered him. Guess I root for the Big Ten system because more schools get in, but it's a bunch of garbage. All right, you know what's not garbage? Talking to Jerry Harrison Jr. Join me next here on Rider Than You.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
All right, good morning on this Friday. Thank you for listening here on the Infinity Sports Network. Bill Ryder with you. Jerry Harrison Jr., longtime major leaguer, played including in many stints with the Dodgers, 2009 World Series champion, played with the Orioles for a minute, on social media, the real Jay Hare, Dodgers analyst, and sources tell me, a damn good golfer. Good morning, Jerry Harrison Jr.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, the sources. How's that golf game?
I'm a pretty good golfer. Sources are correct, yes.
What is the last round? What did you shoot?
I shot a 76 last round.
Oh my God. Are you playing from the tips or are you playing from the where are you teeing off from?
It was a combo. It was a combo yesterday. Combo.
Let me ask you a quick golf question. So my brother played high school golf, could have played college golf. It is very good. He's like a 1.6. He's amazing. I'm not.
Yeah.
Every time we play somewhere, he plays from as far back as possible.
Yeah.
I'm his older brother. Should I be playing from the blues or the whites, or should I just continue to humiliate myself playing from where he tees off?
No, don't play from where he tees off. Obviously, when he's a plus, that means he is an incredible golfer. So go play where you're going to have fun and be competitive. Let him do his thing.
Let him do his thing.
Let him do his thing.
Yeah. Just see the, yeah. I think the time I realized that is once when I didn't outdrive the ladies' tee box. I was like, this needs to change. This is a, yeah, my producer's laughing. All right, just good to know, because you would know. How did you feel about the All-Star festivities, Jerry? And let me just hone in on this, and then we can go anywhere you want. How did you feel about the swing-off at the end of the game?
I actually loved it, man. I thought it was great. I mean, obviously, you'd want to see a team win, but you know, you never want to see a team tie and everybody goes home. I think it was great for the fans. It was great drama. Kyle Schwarber put on a show for the National League and won it. I thought it was extremely creative. And especially for the TikTok generation, it was blown up. You know, kids loved it. And I think that's one of the most important things. And we found out baseball has the last couple of years that the demographic, you know, the 16-year-olds to, like, you know, 24, 28, baseball has exploded, man. It is really done an incredible job with that generation, and they loved it. I loved it. I mean, I'm in my late 40s. I thought it was great drama. It was perfect for the All-Star game because you don't want to go out there and get anybody hurt, especially the pitchers. You run out of pitchers, finishing a swing off, and it was just great entertainment.
It's a really good point about young people, Jerry, and not that I've done a scientific study of this, but I've talked on the radio the last week about how my buddies, their kids, are obsessed with the Home Run Derby, are much more into baseball than I remember even 5 years ago. I don't know if it's Manfred or it's technology. Who do you credit? What are the reasons you think that baseball's made some inroads, important inroads with young people?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Now, I have kids. You know, my son is 19. I have daughters 17 and 15. They all love baseball. I think it's a little bit of everything. I think the pace of play has picked up. Now families can go out, especially during their school year, and know that they're not going to have a 4.5-hour game. They know the game will finish sometime in 2.5 hours, possibly 3. That way they get back home in time so the kids go to school. That is a huge part of it. And I think, you know, the stolen base, it's back. There's more action. There's more balls in play. And it's just fast paced. And I was talking to my son. He's a college baseball player, and my nephews. And they're saying in the TikTok space, Instagram, Twitter, baseball is the best sport to watch because they can watch a highlight and it's pitch to pitch. Of course, let's say the NBA, which I love the NBA. It's constantly moving, right? Baseball, it's pitch to pitch. You don't play until a pitch is thrown. So it's basically perfect timing for these kids to watch a baseball game and then be on Twitter or be on TikTok and then post something on a highlight during the game. So it is actually the perfect pace for that generation. And it's, like I mentioned, it's exploded. And you can see the numbers. You know, Major League Baseball All-Star Game blew away the NBA All-Star Game, the NFL All-Star Game. The viewership was the highest viewed Fox show since the Super Bowl, and it's great. Baseball has never been more popular globally, and it's such in a perfect place. And I know there's gonna be a lot of talk next year or so about if they're gonna be a lockout. They're gonna have all that talk. They're gonna try to, you know, break the players. They always try to do that, but at the end of the day, this is a $13 billion industry. They are not, especially because it's on the rise, they are not gonna mess with that. Or not.
Yeah, that $7+ million showing viewership for the All-Star game was awesome. Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the show. Jerry, you can love something and still want it to improve a little bit, and you may disagree with this. I want baseball to get to a point, and I don't know how this works, and so maybe you can give me a solution, where some of these, and I know there's a lot of small markets that succeed. I get it. It's not just the Dodgers and the Yankees in the playoffs every year. There's no doubt. But the Pirates just, it galls me, the talent they have, how good Skeens is, and the fact that that's a great baseball city. I'm your age. I'm 47. I can remember as a Cubs fan, Andy Van Slyke and Bobby Bonilla and Barry Bonds, just that market mattering. When we get a couple years from now to a new CBA conversation, argument, debate, and there's already been reports about the potential for a lockout of some kind, a stoppage of some kind, is there a world where baseball could implement a spending floor or do something to just get a few of these markets to commit a few more resources to baseball?
Well, that's the thing. The great thing about the Players Association, they have all the information. For every Pittsburgh Pirates, and for, I feel for the Pittsburgh Pirates fan. My dad played for the Pirates.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. He also played for the Pirates. It is a great sports town. Great sports town. With the Steelers, obviously the Penguins, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Fans want to see a competitive team. So I always say it's really on ownership. Baseball, more than any other sport, you have so many different teams in your minor leagues. You got to do a better job of drafting. You got to do a better job of signing the international players. I think really more importantly, developing your players in your system. And you look at Pittsburgh, well, why don't you look at Milwaukee? Milwaukee has thrived. Okay, they have absolutely thrived in their draft, in their signing, and development. Okay, and they're a small market team, right? You look at the Denver, in Denver, the Colorado Rockies. You can't tell me you can't put a winning team, a winning franchise out there in Denver. It's a beautiful area, incredible ballpark. Fans are great. So it's all about drafting, developing talent. Now, that's their issue. Okay, so, and guess what? The Pirate fans understand that. They're very knowledgeable. They want their ownership to spend where they can spend as far as drafting, signing, and scouting. You've got to be able to. Now, listen, Paul Steens was a no-brainer. He was a can't-miss, okay? But you got to go out there and make sure you find those kids, diamonds in the rough, and be able to develop them. So, yeah, to really answer your question, yes, there's going to be at some point, next year, I believe it's after next year, when the CBA's up, where they're going to put the pressure on the players. But the players are going to turn around and say, well, what have you done with the luxury tax money over the last 12, 15 years? What have you done? Have you implemented in your organization? Which they haven't. Okay, so listen, for everything that they say, what have you done the last 12, 15 years during the draft, during international signings, and during free agency, to be able to go out and help with Paul Steens? Okay, I think that is a travesty. They have not done anything going out and gotten their players to compliment guys like Paul Steens and the rest of the guys. So, again, they're going to make the arguments, but I'm telling you, the players are very well versed on what has transpired over the last several years.
Amen on minor league acquisition, talent, scouting, all those things 100% matter. You're right, Jerry. Here's
and another thing, you're drafting too. You're also drafting ahead of everybody else. Dodgers are drafting in the 30s, you know, and then they're also giving supplementary picks when you lose free agency. So there's so many different ways to better your ball club. So baseball, there's no other sport like baseball that you could better yourself in so many different ways: draft, free agency, development, international signings throughout your system. And it's up to the organization. You can't force an organization to do that. And it's a shame, you know, they haven't done it, but the Milwaukee Brewers have done it. The Detroit Tigers have thrived.
Yep. Tampa Bay for a long time.
Tampa Bay? I mean, there are other organizations that may not have the big market like New York and L.A., but they're thriving.
No, it's a great point. Jerry, I'm looking at the NL West right now. Look, the Dodgers are back on track, but they had a little bit of a blip, right? If you're a Padres or a Giants or even a Diamondbacks fan, you can maybe look at that struggle, that run of struggle for L.A. and say, okay, we got a lot of season left. Maybe we can get our way back in. If you're the Dodgers, which of those teams would be the biggest concern about somebody making a late push in the NL West?
Well, I look at the San Diego Padres. They are a very talented team. They just got Yu Darvish back, who's a stud. They got a great lineup. They've been in this type of fray before, battling for the NL West postseason. I would say the Padres would be the biggest threat. Now, that said, the Giants, Buster Posey has already proven that he's going to go out there and make moves. I anticipate him making another move, probably at the trade deadline, to strengthen their team. So the Giants will be there. But really, it's really, you mentioned it, Bill, the health of the Dodgers. Dodgers have not really been healthy. I mean, they have not played their best baseball. That's really no excuse. A lot of teams aren't healthy. Dodgers, they get their horses back. Blake Snell, Blake Trinan in the bullpen, Bruce Gratterall, he hasn't pitched all year. He's supposed to come back in the second half. We just got Tyler Glasnow back. We get our horses back. I think Dodgers still are the team to beat. But you got to be able to be healthy the second half of the season into the postseason.
Jerry, there's obviously a lot of star power here in Los Angeles. There's a lot of star power, a lot of former MVPs, a lot of future Hall of Famers in that Dodgers clubhouse. You're around that team. Can you just give us a sense, how do people view Shohei Ohtani? Just another star, or is he something more in the eyes of teammates in that organization?
No, I mean, we all know he's a superstar. You know, really, when it's all said and done, he's going to have a strong case as probably the greatest player who has ever played. You look what he's done now coming back on the pitching side. You look at his outings. He's gotten better every single time out. His outing last in San Francisco just put on an absolute show for three innings. He is a complete pitcher. If you put down the bat, he could really be top two, top three pitcher in all of baseball. You know, and we saw what he did last year concentrating on the hitting side, 50-50. So he is a unique talent, a guy that is a unicorn. He is just one of the guys, and that's all he wants to be, is just one of the guys. He's extremely funny. He's a guy that is always joking, being with his teammates. Even though he's a superstar, he kind of reminds me like a Ken Griffey Jr., just loving his teammates, joking around, having fun. But when it's time to go out there and perform, he's ready to do his thing. So, yes, he's a superstar, but he's definitely just one of the guys.
All right, I got to close on the Cubs question just because I'm a Cubs fan. It's my show, and I get to ask. But they're actually, I mean, they're good. I mean, look, I am trained, and I don't know where you come down on this because you're a professional. You and I both lived in Naperville for a time. You're from Naperville. I was there for 4 years and went to Abbondi High School for a hot minute. I'm a huge Cubs fan, but I'm not used to – I don't like to give them my heart or my sense of belief. They look really good this year. What is their ceiling, this legitimate – temper my expectations ceiling this season for the Cubbies?
Well, first of all, you got to give credit to Jed Hoyer, what he's done, man. Jed's done a great job. Pete Armstrong is a superstar. I mean, superstar, game-changing type player. I think we all knew he had that capability, you know, through the minor leagues, obviously with that trade going to Chicago. He has exceeded expectations this early. We knew he'd get there, but everybody didn't know how fast. Obviously, he's become a superstar right away. Credit to him. Great player. They have the right mix, man. They got really good pitching, timely hitting. They score runs in a variety of different ways. I think that is the key to being a great team. They can hit the long ball. They got speed. They're great defensively. They got everything you want to win. So I expect them to make another move to better their ball club heading into the second half of the season. But if I'm a Cubs fan, I'm excited because they've proven not only can they, you know, compete with the big boys, they've taken care of business against really good teams. I know they beat us up quite a bit during the regular season. So Cubs, I would not be surprised if they make a deep, deep run in the postseason and really challenge for the NL, the NL crown to get to the World Series.
Is there anybody, if you're the Dodgers, you'd rather avoid than the Cubbies in the playoffs?
Listen, when you're the defending champ, you don't fear nobody. You take on all comers. You take on all comers. That said, the Cubs can pose some problems, not just to the Dodgers, to a lot of teams. Like I mentioned, Bill, when you can score in a variety of different ways, that's a problem, man. Speed, some power, two-out hitting, putting the pressure on the defense, that's an issue. And the Cubs can do that.
Jerry Harrison Jr., you're the best, buddy. Thanks for the golf advice. I'm going to stop letting my ego make me hit from the black tees where I can't even see the flag. I'm just going to cede that to my brother, get my score back into the, you know, low 90s, upper 80s, rather than the number. Well, sometimes, yeah, I got a couple swings in me. And as always, pal, thanks for making time to talk some baseball on the show.
Anytime, Bill.
Thank you, buddy. Jerry Harrison Jr. on the program, the real Jay Hare over on X, longtime major leaguer, won a World Series with the Yankees. Great guy. Great guy. Jerry Harrison Jr. might be, Ryan Hickey, let me think about this, might be the nicest professional athlete that I know. And I know some nice ones. I also know some not so nice ones.
I regret then booking him on Mean Guy Friday. That's
you
my
did, you did you did you
that's
well
bad producing.
I have to give you more of a heads up. It's a Mean Guy Friday, but part of being a mean guy is catching you up short.
And also not caring. I don't care. You know, we're going to go against the whole part of the show. Nice guy and a mean guy Friday.
I got to figure out who would we book on a mean guy Friday to be a guest. Who's a friend of ours that's kind of a mean guy? Andy Roddick. But he doesn't come on the show. He only responds to 2 out of 3 texts that I send anyway. Mean guy.
That's a pretty
nice.
Good
I like
though.
The guy.
66%
I like
return
the guy.
Rate's pretty good.
I guess.
Some athletes will just never get back to you. You could be Ofer, big goose egg.
Well, I'm actually theoretically friends with that guy. Focus on the theoretical.
I like the
aspect of that.
Hey, he got back to you. You texted him last time on the show about talking about his comments about
That's
athletes
true.
And load management. So you're one for one in terms of the last text you sent getting a response.
No, I'm not. Let's go. Let's go. Very excited about buy or sell. What kind of music are you rocking for us, by the way? Do you have any, I'm actually getting kind of excited. DJ El Guapo is great in large part because you're a great DJ.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Living up to the name. You know, I'm going to keep it a surprise and make you, you know, stay on your toes for a few more minutes in terms of what we got coming back.
The Steelers gave massive amounts of money to TJ Watt. Are they idiots? We'll get into that next year on Rider Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
We're in back-to-back years now where the Big Ten has won championships. And so they're the big dog. They're the big, can I say big hyena? Can it just be like a wild animal out there? I don't know why a big hyena.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. We got tricked, Ryan. Speaking of animals, we got tricked.
We got tricked. How?
Yeah, well, I did. My wife and kids convinced me to get cats. Kittens a little bit less than a year ago, last August.
Oh.
Right? We got two little kittens, tiny little kittens. One of those cats now is the size of a dog, and it's still growing. Do you know what a Maine Coon cat is? Like the biggest cats in the world?
I don't know anything about cats.
I didn't either. I think that maybe it is, that's what I'm being told. This thing is huge. It's got to weigh 30 pounds. It's huge.
And still growing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Its feet are the size of my face, basically.
Do you have, like, a little cat door?
No, man. It wouldn't fit through the cat door.
I was just going to ask. Are we going to have some trouble pretty soon? We have to do some construction.
I'm going to have to buy it its own. It's going to have its own bedroom.
its own house.
Queen-size bed. Yeah, right. Secondary house I can't afford. I can't even afford my current place. All right. Let's take a phone call. Then we'll do buy or sell. We're running behind. It's okay. Let's go to Lexington, Kentucky. Chris, thanks for listening, pal. Happy Friday. You are on Rider Than You.
Bill, happy Friday to you. Awesome show as always, sir. Just a quick side note. I am old enough to remember Bridget Jones' Diary. So I love that little reference you did. And
thank you.
By far, far and away, The Sopranos, for my money and my taste, it sounds like you agree, best show I've ever watched.
Incredible.
Far enough.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right. You know from me calling, native Pittsburgher, and I heard your take, and Bill, it's hard to disagree with anything that you said, and as much as I like you, I hope you're absolutely wrong. I have a fear that you may be 100% right, but I wanted to throw another angle at you and see what you thought. So, if you remember, I think it was like a week ago I called, and we were talking about my belief on the Aaron Rodgers deal. There was no one that we had ranked with a first-round grade at the quarterback. I didn't want us to see us go out and spend draft capital on a Kirk Cousins trade. So we were really in no man's land. So we're taking a swing. Okay. This deal for me, because I've read as late as this week, there were two sticking points. One, the overall guaranteed money, and two was the amount of years. He wanted 4. Pittsburgh's always wanted 3. So I was happy with 3. If I would have been really unhappy with 4 just because the possibility he's 36 and the production level is, you know, 30% maybe of what it is now. I think this deal is, besides it being a PR nightmare and for the city, Bill, if we'd have let him walk, because he is, since Ben retired, he's been the face of our organization. I think this is set up for the future, because I've read so many quotes this offseason. With the comp picks and our regular draft picks, we have, I want to say, Bill, it's either 11 or 12 picks in the first five rounds. And Omar's almost exact words were, we are chips all in. I don't care what it's going to take. We're going to go find one of these five or six, and I know it's all projection quarterback, and I know you got to hit on it. You know, there's only so many Joe Burrows and Jaden Daniels around, but if we hit on it, as you know, this is the time to do it, because that dude, if he works out, he's going to be on a rookie deal, and hopefully maybe we can strike lightning in a bottle, and before TJ completely falls off the cliff, maybe we might be able to get number seven for the city.
Look, I'm rooting for you, dude. Yeah, no, I'm rooting for you. And I hear everything you're saying. I just don't think it's going to work. I can think of so many contracts that had to be done. Kyler Murray had to be paid. Dak Prescott had to be paid. Go down the list. Didn't work out. But I hope you're right. I love the call. Let's rock a little buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
I have two buy or sell questions for you. First, and there's no wrong answer, okay? Ryan, I want you to live your dreams and express yourself and buy or sell.
Okay.
Okay? First, buy or sell, you agree with Chris in Lexington.
Sell.
Okay. And this one is, this is you doing you. There's no wrong answer. I'm just... Buy or sell, given the time crunch we're under, you want to make this a no context buy or sell.
Buy.
Okay.
So let's just get right to it. Start with the Steelers. Buy or sell, the Steelers will win a playoff game in TJ Watt's career.
Oh, my God. What a great question. And I know you told me there was a survey, and most Steelers fans said no.
73% of Steelers fans yesterday said no. Crazy.
In his Steelers career.
He's like you mentioned earlier in the show, he's 0-5 so far in the playoffs.
He's gonna be 31 in October.
Win.
How many years he'll be guaranteed high level? The next two? 31 and 32?
Guaranteed high level top three guy in his position next two.
Yeah. Ask Von Miller, though. It's sort of like a running back. When it comes for you, it comes real fast. It's not the NBA. You're not Clayton Kershaw or Verlander. You're not going to have this sort of graceful decrease where you're great and then you're just over. You're washed. And Brady Papinga's talked about when you get old enough to a point that you feel the pain in your body, you can't physically do it anymore. All right. Because Chris is not going to like this. I'm going to sell, dude.
Sell.
It's a close call. It's like 53-47% level of confidence. Do you think buy or sell? You think they'll win a playoff game in his career?
Sell.
They've gone all in. It feels like they got
it's gotta be
for 2025, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the future like. It feels like they're gonna have to. They're old. They're not just expensive. They're also old. You have to blow it up at some point too.
Who would you take in a playoff game? It wouldn't be a neutral site, but we don't know where it's going to be played, so just say in a neutral site. Would you take the Chargers, or would you take the Steelers?
That's a great question. I think I would take the Chargers.
Would you take the... I'm not as high on them, but the Broncos or the Steelers? That's a coin flip for me.
That is. That could be a game where maybe their experience of Pittsburgh win a game they shouldn't. I would...
And they're not playing each other in a first. They're not getting those games in an opening round.
Right. You're getting the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs, right?
The Bengals in your own division. Yeah, Bengals and Ravens in your own division. I mean, it's like maybe you get lucky and you catch the Texans, I guess. You're still that you're a dog in that game.
Oh, yeah. They're on the road, right? They don't win the division, which they will not. They are a dog no matter who.
In every game.
Who they play, you would think. I mean, like, even Denver. If the Broncos somehow, let's get nuts, win the AFC West.
Right. People think they can.
Steelers are not going into that game as a favorite.
No. They're not winning that game.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, let me do math here, 6 or 7 months from now? When he's 40, when he's 59 or whatever he's going to be? No way.
Depressing. depressing times. Who would have thought we'd be talking about that with TJ Watt just getting a playoff win for the Steelers?
Crazy
but
question.
Here we are.
That's a crazy question.
That is. Really makes you think. Off of that TJ Watt contract, buy or sell, Micah Parsons and Trey Hendrickson, both of them will receive new deals by week one.
Yeah, kind of sets the market, huh? Resets the market as it always does. Trey Hendrickson, same age. Cowboys are. Okay. Poorly run. Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to play by the rules here because it's no. Oh, sorry. Do you want to. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, break the rules if you want to. Okay. Oh, no, do your thing. No,
do you
want
to move on to
the
next? I wasn't sure. Sorry. You were contemplating. I wasn't sure if that was code for move on to the next question. But if you want to expand, please expand.
Well, I'm ready for the next question.
Okay. Playing by the rules here, right? Because this is, of course.
It's time for no context, buy or sell.
So, okay. Simply, Bill, buy or sell. This is the right move.
I got to go to the script. All right. This is buy.
I was going to say, you can't even know what I'm talking about. You're just blind. This is the right
Lloyd
move.
Lloyd Howell, this is the NFL Players Association president.
Resigning.
Stepping down. Executive director, I think is his title.
I like to better when you didn't have the question.
I have no context question for you. Buy or sell Pablo Torre?
Buy.
All right, there we go.
What's the finish? Is it a bad guy? Oh, boy. Look at what Hickey said. What an idiot.
Pablo Torre found out, huh? Lloyd Howell Jr. is the one who found out, bro.
Oh! He found out.
Yeah, he did. He got found out.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness.
The old 3 a.m., I'm stepping down announcement. There's no shame in that at all.
On a Friday. Love that. This courtesy, I'm going to give a little context here, of Titus McClendon on Twitter. Thank you, Titus, for this question. Buy or sell? Joel Embiid is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Titus asked this question. It was a great question. So there's only one MVP in the history of the NBA who has won an MVP who's probably not going to make the Hall of Fame. That's Derrick Rose. Every MVP in the history of the NBA has made the Hall of Fame so far that have retired and qualified. Is he bye?
Bye.
Should he be? Am I crazy to sell?
Sell.
I love Embiid too. I have a much higher standard than the actual standards that apply.
I think you have to factor in, fair or not, he's basically played in half the games he's eligible for.
Right.
Games played and games missed is about the same. That's crazy.
There's no Gale Sayers effect where he played a limited number of years but had massive success. He's never made a conference finals. And he doesn't have the counting stats because of his inability to be durable. Now, all that can change. If he comes back, he's healthy this year, and they win an NBA championship, yes. But I would have debated Melo more thoroughly. To me, Melo, and people think I'm an idiot for this, was not a slam dunk Hall of Famer. I would have gotten him in, I think. I would have gotten there. But it wasn't a sure thing for me. Here's the thing. If Embiid doesn't have another full successful season, I think you can flirt with the answer no. That's a great question from Titus.
Great question. Great, great question.
I was on the old instant messages, on the old XIM.
The DMs are open for you. How about that?
They're open. Get in there.
Bill Ryder, accessible. Man
Let's
in the
go.
People.
Yes, I am.
Two more here, Bill. Buy or sell. You will take the field over the Dodgers to represent the NL in this year's World Series.
Ooh. Let's go. Let's buy. Come on, Cubs. Come on, you Cubbies. Put the Mets in there. You know, Mets could be a team you kind of take a little bet on. Maybe the Padres take them out in the playoffs like they did a few years ago. Do I really believe in the Phillies? I don't, but that's a fun thing to talk about. It's probably the Dodgers, though. Probably the wrong answer.
But baseball is the one sport, right, where doesn't matter what your record is, you get hot, anyone can go down, and we've seen the Dodgers plenty of times have a great team and not make it.
What I worry about is they've had all these injuries and their pitching hasn't been consistent. If they get healthy, if they're doing this when they're not, right, when they get healthy, when all of a sudden Shohei isn't pitching three innings, he's pitching six or seven in October.
Then Yamamoto after him, yeah, it could be dicey. Could be dicey for the rest of the NL.
Buy or sell, this is just no con. If Shohei Ohtani ever has a season where he hits 50 homers, steals 20 bases, and wins 20 games, it will be the greatest baseball season in history.
Buy.
I think that's extraordinarily doable. What if I lowered the wins number to 15 wins?
Buy.
I think that's going to happen. That's going to happen, barring injury.
Still be, yeah, and something we've never seen, especially in our lifetime, never seen before.
15-5, 3.13 ERA, 52 homers, 23 stolen bases, drives in 112 guys.
In the MVP race and the Cy Young Award race, it's incredible.
Buy or sell that, like me, you refuse to say to stop saying RBIs.
Buy.
He had 29 RBIs.
If the option was 29 RBI or die right now, put me in my grave.
You're done.
Done.
Wave we'll the mourn flag. You.
Put a fork
we
in
We will
me.
Mourn you.
Never be caught dead.
Bleep
RBI.
You, grammar.
Let's finish here. I know we don't have a lot of time, and we are in no context, but I'll have to break the rules here. It is Mean Guy Friday. I'm going to break the rules by just playing you this from the Open Championship yesterday. Listen very, very closely.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Downwind, you can get onto this green, but Scheffler. What are you laughing about?
There's so much to say about that shot. The sound off the club face. It's extraordinary. Let's stick to the golf.
By yourself.
Scheffler just farted. Is that what that was?
That was a fart.
He let one out.
He let one out. Okay. By yourself. Did nothing wrong in the golf course.
I mean, you've heard the story of me farting on Brooklyn Decker, right? So, I mean, who am I to...
That's true.
Yeah. So, I'll have to buy nothing wrong. Because who
buy.
Am I to judge? You know what? No. Sell. It's wrong. I've done it. I've been there. I've lived the humiliation.
Isn't a golf course one of the best places to let one out? No one's around. It just goes right into the air.
I kind of obviously slipped out on the swing. Little swing, slip. But you wait till they're not, just when you're walking. A lot of these golfers are smoking. They're not showing that either, right? Like, golfers will smoke on the course sometimes. Just wait till that moment.
Maybe he just doesn't think the sonic boom is that boomy.
It's pretty funny. The British guys, too, trying not to laugh. Let's stick to the golf.
Okay. So proper.
Okay. It's Friday. Great job with no context. It's bum of the week day. And I write down little names here, people that will be nominated. And I see Ryan DJ El Guapo Hickey. Will he win his third bum of the week in almost as many weeks, feels like? We will find out after a sports flash from Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
And we start with baseball. The Dodgers hosting the Brewers tonight as baseball returns following the All-Star break. Manager Dave Roberts, World Champs, came out of the break in first place in the NL West.
I do think the break will help a lot of our guys, and it'll be good to get back home. But yeah, I think ultimately to win a series, to get to the break in first place, it's certainly positive.
Tyler Glasnow against Jose Quintana tonight. First pitch is at 10:10 Eastern Time. Now to the Open Championship Round 2. Hao Tong Lee is the leader at 9-under through 12. Brian Harman is in the clubhouse at 8-under through 6. Matt Fitzpatrick is 7-under through 7. Robert McIntyre and Rasmus Højgaard are 5-under and done for the day. From the NFL, the New York Jets have agreed the terms with second-round pick tight end Mason Taylor. Gets a four-year deal worth $10.46 million. I'm Peter Schwartz.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you on this Friday, along with DJ El Guapo. He may be bum of the week. We'll get to that in a second. Such a nice guy, too. I hope it doesn't happen. But I have no control over that. The universe decides. This NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. Dover Motor Speedway is the scene this weekend as the in-season challenges whittle down 32 drivers, just four. The Monster Mile will help dictate the final two drivers who will compete next week for the $1 million prize. Added bonus, the Dover Motor Speedway is a part of Ryan Hickey's yearly sojourn to see his boys.
I wave to the track every year.
Does it wave back?
No, it does not.
No, you don't feel the love.
I do not feel the love, in part because no one usually is there. But nonetheless, it's a one-way street.
What is your confidence level on a percentage scale, without giving away any more information about other candidates, that you can avoid being bum of the week?
100%.
You're 100% sure?
That I'm going to avoid. If I win bum of the week, I think I'm going to have to talk to the jury. I'm going to have to talk to the judge. I think the whole entire court is just going to be thrown out. It's kangaroo court. I'm done.
No one's ever tried an appeals process. You know what that does? Probably gets you a bum of the week next week. I'm just speculating. Do you know what can also get you bum of the week? Is arrogance.
Ooh.
Let's find out if it's you.
Hallelujah. I'm a bum.
All he's doing is a whole lot of damn nothing.
I'm a bum.
You rotten bum!
I'm a bum.
They're a bunch of bums.
I'm a bum. I'm a bum. I'm a bum.
Who's the bum this week? Let's find out on Writer Than You.
All right, you're nominated for having never seen a single superhero movie. Not a single one. You've not seen a Batman movie. You haven't seen a Spider-Man movie. You haven't. This is the, you can win this because the person you've hurt with this is yourself. You've hurt yourself.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm disappointed in you on your behalf.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to lower that from the 100 to a little bit lower then on the confidence level.
Like 3%?
Yeah.
Got a chance?
So
you're saying there's a chance? I understand. Alex Rodriguez got nominated correctly, wisely, intuitively, by one of our listeners for calling Robert Manfred the greatest human being ever born, or the greatest commissioner. I can't remember. It was equally ludicrous. Hall of Famer, I think is what he said, right? He should be in the Hall of Fame?
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
My God. My God. I'm going to nominate, and I've never done this, and he was nice to me when I would see him in the hallway. No, not everyone. I know people had mixed feelings. I liked Mike Francesa in my time in the office. He's nominated for his Superman review. Have you seen his Superman review? I watched the whole thing.
I have, yes. It is very captivating.
Who put a dog in there? A dog with a cape? Bro.
He was the reason why
Lois Lane's in a Lois Lane's in a freaking spaceship. That's a fair point, actually. All right. Mike, and he represents everyone who just didn't like Superman. I mean, gotta nominate the Coldplay couple. If you missed this, the astronomer, are we even doing, allegedly, the astronomer CEO and the head of human resources were caught on the Jumbotron with his arm around her, and then they basically dove out of the way. They hid. You don't even have to see it. This is the lead singer of Coldplay live narrating this what is now viral moment.
Oh, look at these two. All right, come on. You're okay? Oh, what? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
Turned out, I think it's been confirmed that they were not married to each other. So, Coldplay couple. Coldplay couple. Anyone else you're interested in nominating here? Anyone else you got?
I would like to nominate everybody that was offended by Shane Gillis's monologue.
Oh, you can edgy
from
on me. All right.
Sense of I'm not saying I agree with what he's a comedian. He's there to make you laugh. I don't think you're supposed to take anything they say for the most part at face value or seriousness. He's there to get a chuckle out of you. And I think people that are offended by it are taking his words too literally. Relax. Nobody's there for. Take a deep breath. Touch some grass.
Can I nominate LeBron James for the articles that came out at the start of the week we talked about? Because I think you maybe weren't here. Because he feels like he hasn't been treated well enough by the Lakers, given the fact they drafted his kid and gave this kid a guaranteed contract. Can I nominate LeBron, my guy?
Absolutely.
I'm a bleeping lie. You're a bleeping bum. Cool. Got it. Got it. I mean, never having seen a superhero movie. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Come on. There are way worse
offenses
we just talked about.
It's pretty bad.
I'm shocked you left a swing off the bum of the list, by the way.
It's kind of growing on me a little
Whoa.
Bit. Is that weird? Like,
wow.
Not growing on me in the sense that I like it. Growing on me in the sense that I can kind of live with it maybe for a minute.
You don't hate it.
I don't hate it as much as I did hate it before. I cannot believe you've never seen a superhero movie. It's so much worse than the Star Wars thing.
I feel like I'm in... I'm not going to say the majority. That's unfair. I think there are a lot more people out there than you think that are like me. That have never seen a superhero
That have never seen...
Or superhero
I'm not,
movie.
Not like it, not be into it, fine. Never seen one?
What can I say?
Never seen one. All right, you're lucky. You're lucky that couple, air quotes, went to Coldplay together. For getting publicly outed, whatever the hell was going on there, Astronomer CEO, for the public humiliation to your company and your family and your, I mean, honestly, your poor wife, it's awful. And for making all of us laugh and then feel bad that we laughed at you. Coldplay couple, you're the bums of the week, bros.
That's your bum of the week.
I detest you!
On Writer Than You.
I'm just going to say it again. Rule number one, don't cheat on your wife. But I don't judge other people's marriages. In this case, it's hard not to. But that's just my personal philosophy. But rule number two, if you're going to do... What if somebody saw him like walk into the concession stand? What if... I mean, what... Well, what's he thinking?
There's probably, 70,000 people in that stadium, conservatively?
If he hadn't freaked out, if he had played it cool and taken his arms off, could he have explained it away to his wife? No one would have seen it, but if she had seen it, could you explain it away?
That's tough. I think you have a better chance of getting away with it than no one seeing it. If she did see that video,
Well, I mean, not that he should have just started dancing badly as if he was just had just been dancing, right? Like, oh, this is a dancing situation that's awkward. Not, bro, the looks on their faces.
Let me duck.
He dove to the ground. Yeah, that's a nosedive of a career. All right, fun show. Thanks, Jerry Harrison Jr. Great work by DJ El Guapo. I'm Bill Ryder. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. See you back here Monday on Ryder Than You.